Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What if, at the age of 29, while possessing a beautiful singing voice, you were engaged to be married, and suddenly, one night, a bizarre accident shatters your spine, leaving you a quadriplegic? What would you do? This is the story of Renee Bondi and a night that changed her life forever. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Dear friend, for you to know the one who loves you and knows you, and that there are moments, even as you'll hear from Renee, that are moments as though a brick shatters the window of your car and stops you in your tracks. Well, today, Jesus is calling you. He loves you so much, He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched and changed and empowered the life of Renee Bondi, is calling out to you. No matter where you are, what you've done, how far you've gone, there is always hope in Jesus. A gifted Christian singer before her accident, Renee Bondi augmented her gifts to include a dynamic speaking ability, leaving audiences riveted. Whether performing a powerful concert or sharing her story of victory in the midst of paralysis and a life confined to a wheelchair, she lifts her audiences and continues to do so even in the classroom as a magnificent teacher. Renee, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. Hello, Suzanne. I'm happy to be with you today.
Aloha.
Renee, where did you grow up?
I grew up in a little town called San Juan Capistrano, which is right between Los Angeles and San Diego in Southern California. Grew up in the middle of an orange grove. My dad was a citrus grower for Sunkist oranges, and so lived a beautiful life growing up, riding horses, running through orange grove sprinklers, my fingernails dirty with mud underneath the fingernails from digging and planting and just enjoying a rural life in Southern California before it got all built up.
Who influenced you most, Renee, in your childhood?
In my childhood. Now, are you saying spiritually, musically?
Maybe both.
Both? Well, I would say spiritually, it was my pastor growing up. My pastor was a sweet, sweet man, Monsignor Martin. He was one that lived his life by modeling it. I never heard him say a cross word about anyone. He was always building people up and praising God through it all. And so for just really sitting and thinking about who would influence my upbringing, I wasn't getting into the word big time as a youth, meaning elementary and middle school, but it was definitely in high school, college, and beyond where I dug into the Lord's word. But musically, though, too, it was my first voice teacher, who as a freshman in high school, just grabbed my pigtail and said, "You need to come in here for a minute," and pulled me into her studio, her vocal studio, and said, "Sing for me this," and had me do a little beep, 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 things like that, you know, the little warm-ups and vocalizations. And she was the one that just grabbed my shoulders and said, "This is what you need to be doing. This is where your gift is. The Lord has given you this. Please don't walk away from it." And I can still remember her voice saying that to me.
That sounds, it's so affirming. I know you're a teacher. Suzanne has spent many years as a teacher. But how did your teacher discover that in you?
Well, I was always, I hate to say it, I was loud and laughed a lot, I think. And this is what she would say. And so when we'd be walking down the school hallway, I'd be with my friends, and we'd be singing away. And I was probably the last one to be quiet, I think, out of that group. And she heard it several times going past her room, and she said that she used to pop her head out saying, "Who is that?" And finally, she got out there fast enough to figure out who it was, and that's when she grabbed my pigtail, as I said, and pulled me into her studio.
Well, you've had, in your book, you write about the many experiences you had singing and the affirmation you received. It just kept taking you to new levels. Your book, The Last Dance, but not the last song. Renee, what happened? We're fast forwarding now, 29 years old. What happened the night after you and Mike danced together as chaperones of a prom?
Well, as you said, I was engaged to be married. I was 29 years old, and our wedding was just 2 months away. And I chaperoned with Mike San Clemente High School's prom. I was teaching vocal music, choir, ironically enough, at San Clemente High School. Loved my job there. The next day, he flew back to Colorado, where he was living. I went over to the high school to conduct the orchestra in the spring musical. It was a banner day, sold out crowd. Went home, had some dinner. Had some dinner, wrote out lesson plans for the week. That's right. And then at about 11 o'clock or so, I went to bed. Really excited about my life. The musical had gone really well. We had a great run of several weeks, and all was well. I just been awarded Teacher of the Year at my school, and here we're 2 months away from our wedding, so life was very exciting. The next thing I know, I woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning. I woke up out of a deep sleep, standing on the end of my bed, and suddenly a split second after waking up, realizing I was standing up, I dove off the end of my bed onto my head, hit my head on the ground, heard my neck snap, crackle, pop big time, finished the flip that apparently I was trying to do, landed flat on my back, and I thought, "What? Huh?" I was still half asleep, so I really didn't know what was going on. Well, just like anybody, if you woke up in the middle of the night and you found yourself in a funny situation, you really don't wake up all the way. I was half asleep, so I tried to get up to go back to bed. And I thought, "Oh, I'll figure it out in the morning." And as I rolled over on my shoulder to get up, a deep, sharp pain went through my neck. It really did feel like a knife going through my neck. I went, whoa. And I tried another couple ways to get up, and each time there was tremendous pain that went to my neck. And I realized finally that I needed some help to get up, that there was every time I tried to get up, it was extremely painful. So I went to holler for my roommate at the time, and as I hollered out for Dorothy, that was her name, as I hollered out for Dorothy, all that came out was a whisper, "Dorothy." And I thought, whoa, now I was scared because there was no way she was going to hear me. I tried several more times to call out to her, but my voice had suddenly been reduced to a whisper. I thought, she's not going to hear me. It's going to be, she's going to leave for work, and she's not going to know I'm here. My door was closed. But within about 2 or 3 minutes, the door opened, the light goes on. Dorothy sees me on the floor and says, "What are you doing on the floor at 2 o'clock in the morning?" And I said, "I don't know, but it's my neck. It's killing me. This is serious." Very long story short, I had broken my neck at cervical vertebrae 4, leaving me quadriplegic, quad meaning all four limbs, completely paralyzed for the first year. And then once the swelling went down, which takes about a year, more messages were able to get from my brain down to my biceps, which is now my why my arms move, but my wrists and my fingers and my legs do not work. They are paralyzed. So I am here in this wheelchair. To this day, we still have no idea at all what happened. I don't have any history of sleepwalking, any history of any kind of disease that would cause a seizure. There was certainly no drugs or alcohol involved. We don't know. And that was 31 years ago. 31.
31 years ago. Mike, we've got to talk about Mike when we come back from our break. Engaged. What would you do, dear listener, dear friend, as if you had your whole future planned out, filled with excitement, already setting things in motion, and something like this happens? When we come back from our break, we'll talk more with Renee Bondi. You can find out about her and her incredible ministry at reneebondi.com. Singer, speaker, teacher. She loves people, and God has used her marvelously to impact the lives of so many who have seen her in person or watched her. You'll hear more from her heart to heart with you when we come back. Stay with us, okay? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Renee Bondi, at 29, became a quadriplegic. She lost not only all of her hands, use of her hands and legs, but also her singing voice. She could barely speak above a whisper. But unwilling to accept that her life was over, Renee searched her heart and sought the Lord for direction. There were many dark days, but Renee continued to persevere. She's our guest today. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. We're grateful you're with us. Maybe you caught the tail end of the last segment or are tuning in right now. You can get this program in its entirety as a gift to you. Just go to thegoodlifeway.com, download the free podcast, and as we typically say, go ahead and share it with a family member or friend. It will surely, surely encourage and lift them up. And to find out more about Renee, reneebondi.com. Renee, how did Mike respond following your engagement after he heard of your injury?
He got a phone call from his father. He was living in Colorado at the time. I was in California, now in the hospital. And his father said, Renee has broken her neck. And he certainly jumped on the first flight home. And he would tell you that the whole way home, he just prayed and prayed and prayed, just screaming out to the Lord, saying, please don't let her die. Before I get there, don't let her die at all, but let me get there. And he walked in. I still can picture his face to this day. I was in the ICU. My family, my sisters, my brother, my mom and dad were around, and every face up until Mike walking in, every face that walked in had such a gloomy, dark look on their face. It was, I knew this was serious. Everybody, it just was deep, deep sadness. You could see they were pushing away tears. And, but Mike walked in and he was this bright light. And he walked up, came right up to me, gave me a kiss on the cheek. And he said, hi, honey. I'm so good. So happy to see you. And I was whispering because I'd lost my voice at the time. And I said, well, it looks like we're going to get the good parking places now. And he laughed, and he would tell you that was the moment that he said, okay, she's paralyzed, but she's the same person. And from then on out, he said, I'm in it for the long haul. And it was hard. He's the one that you should interview, quite frankly. I really feel that way. From my point of view, I felt so unworthy of his love. After my injury, I thought, I'm not the woman you were going to marry. I have no feeling from above my chest down. My hands don't work. Well, even my arms didn't work yet at that time. My legs don't work. How in the world am I going to give you a family? How can I participate in the financial needs of our family? How can I make sure that our house is clean and there's food on the table and food in the fridge? And how can I cook meals? I mean, all these questions that came up over and over in my mind, and they came up mostly in the middle of the night in the hospital. And as we all know, the nights can be the darkest of times. And for me, it absolutely was. So I would talk with the Lord saying, God, I can't let Mike stay with me. There's no way. And Lord, I surrender this. I give this to you. I lay it at your feet. Father God, I don't know what to do with this. This is outrageous. And then I would open my eyes, and a friend of mine had put on my wall in my hospital room a crucifix, Jesus on the cross, right where I could see it. And I remember opening my eyes and my eyes focusing on Jesus on the cross, the crucified Christ. And boy, did I feel like I could relate right then. And I said, Jesus, if you can do that, then I guess I can do this. But I cannot do it alone. There's no way. I can only do it by holding on to the feet of your cross, gathering strength from you. And after praying this way over and over and over again, my husband Mike saw it also, and he knew it. And he was a believer as well. But of course, this was testing both of our faith. Why would a good God let this happen? We don't even know what happened. And the doctors were saying this was going to be for life. And so this was, let's see, I got out of the hospital in October. And 6 months later in March, Mike said, well, I think we need to reset the date for the wedding, because our wedding date had passed when I was in the hospital. I was in the hospital for 5 months. And I looked at him, I said, serious time now. We have to talk about this, Mike. There's no way that you can stay with me. I am not the woman you would marry. And he said, yeah, you are. Yeah, you really are. Yeah, your legs are kind of stupid right now. But everything else, you are who you are, Renee. And we will make a life out of this. So with huge, deep tears, I said yes. And we reset the date for 1 year after I got out of the hospital. There was not a dry eye in that church when I rolled down the aisle, that is for sure. And this year, we are celebrating 30 years of marriage. I gave birth to a beautiful baby boy, naturally, no C-section. And hey, as I've said before, during that delivery, I didn't feel a thing. So our son now, Daniel, is 24 years old and a super nice guy, just like his dad, and a wonderful singer. It's such a blessing to be able to sing with him and harmonize with him as well.
Renee, how did you talked about the sadness in the hospital, of course. Did your family start responding quickly, especially when they saw Mike and his commitment?
Yes, I have to say that my parents and my three siblings, my two sisters and brother, now I cry. Even 30 years later, I still cry at this when I talk about this. I just get such a clump in my throat. They really stepped up to the plate. They really did. But God did through them. And let me share with you how. First of all, my dad is a mechanical engineer by nature. He's a farmer. He's a rancher. But by nature, he can fix anything. And so he saw that I needed a cup holder on my wheelchair. He saw that I needed a foot plate where my feet would stay together, because I was a girl and I wanted to make sure that my knees didn't spread and look funny and all. And he knew that I wanted to look pretty in my chair. And so he would get the welder out and he would work on things to fix my chair. My mom came over, did all our laundry. She was cooking meals. She was doing. Both of them were doing. My brother is also, professionally, an agriculture mechanic. My sister is a dental hygienist, and my other sister, a nurse. Mm. So all of them, everything was being taken care of, down to flossing my teeth with my sister. And but I have to share with you that my sister and my dad had my nurse sister and my dad separately had very serious conversations with Mike while we were in the hospital. And said, you don't have to do this, Mike. You don't have to stay. We've got her. We'll take care of her. You go. She's not the woman you're going to marry. By the time Mike had heard that from it was actually the third time. The doctor had said it, and then my dad said it, and then a separate time my sister said it. And Mike just blew, and you have to know him. He does not get angry. He's extremely good-natured. And he blew at my sister Denise and said, are you kidding me? You too? You think I'm going to leave her at her deepest, darkest time? No way. And so he stayed with me. Now, we both now, 30 years later, would say, oh, naive, oh, a little ignorant about what was coming down the pike, because it has been a very long, arduous journey, for sure. It has not been easy. I remember when I was speaking for Hawaiian Island Ministries for the event there several years ago, Suzanne, when I met you, and my caregiver was with me, and Mike, and I remember we were somewhere, I don't remember, with some tourist spot, some sightseeing spot, after the conference that I had sung and spoken for, and I couldn't, it wasn't wheelchair accessible wherever we were, I can't remember. And I said, you guys go, do not let my chair hold you back. I want you to experience it. So they went, all right, we'll go. And I'll never forget them walking up this hill, and I sat there staring at them, and I said, God, my husband needs a wife that can do that with him. And I just felt that way. And so, yes, sure, the tears came. I bawled my eyes out at that point. But Mike turned around like 15 minutes, 10 minutes, he was back, and he said, I can't do that. Now, let's go do something together. And so it is his personality, but I also believe it's the God that he serves, that he really leans into the Lord saying, God, I can't do this, but you can. So will you just work through me? It is amazing.
There's just a huge tug on our hearts. I can only imagine, that's it, only imagine what it's doing in the hearts of many who are listening today.
Yes.
But someone today just is at a crossroads in their own life, a crossroads of faith and faithfulness. Are they going to transition out? Every door is open for them to make a move. No guilt, no nothing. In fact, it's being encouraged. And yet this story of Mike and his commitment, his love, in some ways blind, as you described, but faith in God, faith in what God was going to do. You're listening to Renee Bondi. You can find out more about her and her ministry at reneebondi.com. That's Renee with two E's, Bondi with an I, B-O-N-D-I, reneebondi.com. When we come back from our break, you might be wondering, hey, Danny, I thought she could barely utter a whisper, and now I can hear her so clearly. And you said she was teaching, and she is teaching even today. And she's also singing. You might be wondering, how did that happen? Well, we'll ask her when we come back from our break. What did God do to restore Renee Bondi's voice? There are also some other moments in her life that have been remarkable. Like, how does God take someone in a wheelchair in front of thousands and they actually see Pope John Paul II? Well, she'll share about it when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So at age 29, Renee Bondi was engaged to be married, had a beautiful singing voice, a thriving career as a music teacher, loving family, and then one night a bizarre accident shattered her spine and left her quadriplegic. Her life changed forever. She was able to but utter a meager whisper. But today you hear her. She's talking and singing with clarity and beauty, and she's with us today. You can find out more about Renee Bondi at reneebondi.com. And this program, you can get it as a free podcast at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maher, my co-host. We're so grateful you're with us today to hear and share in this experience with Renee Bondi. Renee, how did God restore your voice?
I had a friend when I was in the hospital. She was a voice teacher as well, and she would come about twice a week. She noticed that when I had several visitors in my room, that she could see that I was working harder, taking deeper breaths, trying to talk louder. And she could really see that my diaphragm was working hard. Basically, you could see, because I have to be laying on my back, that my stomach was going up and down a lot more. But it was actually the diaphragm that was pushing. And so she said, And the reason why I was reduced to a whisper vocally is because as soon as I broke my neck at that fall at C4, all of the muscles around my diaphragm were instantly paralyzed because the vertebrae had jammed into the spinal cord, cutting off the messages from the brain down to that area. But if I had broken vertebrae 3, 2, or 1 higher up on the neck, I'd be on a ventilator, a respirator, the rest of my life, because the diaphragm itself would have been paralyzed. But because I broke C4, cervical vertebrae 4, the diaphragm was not paralyzed, but all the muscles around the diaphragm were. So that's why all of a sudden this diaphragm was trying to push against flaccid muscle, and it just couldn't get enough support. So she said, in the hospital, she said, if there's a flicker of diaphragmatic muscle still working, we got to make it stronger. So she came in the next day with one of those one-pound ankle weights, you know, those kind of Velcro weights that people would put around their ankles or their wrists, and she would lay it flat on my stomach. And then she'd invite a bunch of people in for me to start talking, because she noticed, again, that's how I spoke louder, or I tried to talk louder to make my voice go across the room. And essentially, every time I would take that breath to speak louder, it would force whatever diaphragmatic muscle that might have still been working, it forced it to lift weights. So we would do that, about 1 pound on my stomach for the first week. Next week, she'd add another pound. Next week, another pound. Pretty soon, I was up to 10 pounds, up to 25 pounds. By the end of the 5 months, I was up to 50 pounds, 5-0, on my stomach, allowing those muscles to get stronger. It was the most unconventional respiratory therapy. I'm sure the respiratory therapist wouldn't have been too excited about it, but it is definitely, we feel, helped strengthen. Now, it still didn't get it back to as strong as it is now. For sure. It was the combination of her very unconventional respiratory therapy and the power of prayer, because I had our church community and our family, our friends, my San Clemente High School, people were really praying. And if there's one thing I say to your listeners now, is that please resist the pull to become an island resist the thought of wanting to become a recluse and just go away from people. When something is big, something's life-changing, something's frightening, something is, quite frankly, incredibly depressing in your life, we are made to be community. We are. And I don't know where I would be 30 years later if it not be for the sense of community around me. Now, there might be a listener, Danny, saying,
well, everybody's left me. Everybody's left me. I've tried and nobody wants to help me anymore. Nobody wants to help me.
And yes, that definitely can be. I've been there and have felt that before. And it's a very strong, what I'm going to say now is going to be a very strong statement. Very strong. But I do encourage each one of us, and I'm telling myself this the same time I'm sharing with your listeners, we all must strive to be the kind of person that people want to help. It is huge. It's a harsh statement. And when you're not feeling well and when you're cranky, and I still to this day, I did this morning, as recently as this morning, had some physical problems that were very painful and very difficult. And, oh, I just wanted to blow the lid off of the roof off my house. I was so frustrated. And I had to look at my caregiver and say, it's not you. It's not you. You're awesome. You're doing great. I'm just so frustrated. And she said, I get it. I get it. I said, please do. I'm so sorry if I'm getting cranky. And so the tendency is to say, oh, I don't want to do it anymore. Let me just stay home. Let me just stay in my room. But getting out, saying yes, reaching out to people, asking how they are doing, loving on them, has been one of the best things for my heart and for my spirit.
You know, Renee, excuse me, I'm just listening with every word. One of the things I want to comment on is the power of prayer. Throughout your testimony, I'm hearing the power of prayer. I'm hearing the preparation that God put in place just every step of the way, and the therapy that your friend offered to strengthen your muscles. We just need to be thankful for the power of prayer. And
I really agree with you. There are certain scriptures that have really helped me. I so want your listeners to know that I'm not perfect at this. As recently as I said this morning,
mm-hmm.
being cranky and like, are you kidding me? Why is this happening? And we just had to figure out what was going on. We solved it. It got taken care of. But it was not without, all right, drop and pray. I mean, there was a moment of, God, will you please fill this room? Holy Spirit, will you come into this room? Will you give each one of us in this room your Holy Spirit wisdom to know what to do? Give us your eyes. Give us your thoughts. Give us your mind. Give us your hands to know how to move me, how to do this, so that I can get comfortable again, so I could even do this interview this afternoon. There are the scriptures that come to mind. Is Revelation 2:4, where John has gotten the revelation for the church of Ephesus, and the Lord is telling him that, gosh, you've done great things, you've done wonderful things, but you have forsaken your first love, you have forgotten your first love. Here it is, it starts with verse 3. Without growing weary, you have persevered and endured many things for the sake of my name. But I have this against you. You have abandoned your first love. Therefore, keep in mind how far you have fallen. Repent and perform the deeds you did at first. And I've had to really say that to myself many times in this walk with the Lord. That first love, I'm not talking about my first boyfriend in middle school. No, we're talking about the first time that we said, Jesus, yes. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I accept the the love that you have for me. Jesus, I accept the blood that you experienced so that I can live with you forever. But when you are facing chronic fatigue, chronic pain, sometimes we can forget it. Sometimes like, yeah. And we have to come back, repent, and perform the deeds you did at first, when you were first in love with our Lord. And if your listeners are listening and saying, I don't know that love, I've never been in love with Jesus that way, then I invite you today to say yes. In whatever language, whatever that means to you, in the way, whichever way that you understand Jesus at this point, and it might be minimal and it might be great, but to be able to say, Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And then every time this big problem comes up physically or whatever it is emotionally, for me personally, I say, I surrender, Lord. I lay it at your feet. I give it to you. One more.
Well, Renee, when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about your having a son. You mentioned your son, Daniel. You mentioned that he's a good singer. I know Suzanne has something burning that she'd like to ask. But when we come back, maybe you could share with us that part of your journey. And I still want to find out, since we were talking about prayer, you had a rare experience where Pope John Paul II actually prayed for you, right? So when we come back, more from Renee Bondi. Renee with two E's, Bondi with an I, reneebondi.com. Sharing heart to heart with you, my friend. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kayani Team Aloha, has seen Kayani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kayani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Against all odds and all physicians' prognoses, Renee Bondi's voice was miraculously restored with a crystal clear, really angelic sound. You'll get a little taste of that today. Renee harnessed her talents to inspire and give hope to others. You can find out more about her at reneebondi.com. Renee, give us a quick recap of your experience there. I think it was in Denver, right? When that World Youth Day, you
yes.
got to meet the Pope.
Well, I'm the first one always to say, if you ever get a chance to go to World Youth Day, go do it, because it's so awesome. But I was invited to speak and sing for one of the main events there at World Youth Day. So I had spoken downtown Denver at one of the World Youth Day events, and the next morning was the closing of World Youth Day and the main mass, a huge mass, over 500,000 people out at Cherry Creek Park.
So the next day, a decision was made to actually go to the big event and possibly see the Pope. And of all things, a wonderful opportunity, completely unexpected, opened up for them that was remarkable. Someone asked a question. A very important person asked Renee a question, and this is what happened.
Said, "You want to meet the Pope?" And I went, "What?" And he said, "Come over here." So he positioned me at a place that right when Mass was over, Pope John Paul was walking down the back steps, the back stairs of the stage area where the altar was, because it was a big outdoor altar that they had put up. And he came down the steps, and he walked right over to me, and he put his hands on my head. And I looked up to him, and I said, "Thank you so much for loving our young people." And he started praying over me in his very thick Polish accent. He said, "Oh, that's not hard to do." And he was very, very loving and prayed over me. And we talked a little bit longer, and then he had to leave to go on to the next group of people. It was really a privilege.
Renee and Mike Bondi had a son. His name is Daniel. Today, he's a 24-year-old, handsome young man with a rare gift, a gift that is sublimely complimented when shared with his mother.
Renee, thank you so much. I'm hoping now we can hear a duet with the two of you. Can you tell us a little bit about the song that we'll be hearing?
Yes, we have a ministry called Bondi Ministries. And we do a concert here in Southern California where people are able to come. And it's my family, because our whole family, my sisters sing, and of course now our son does professionally as well. So we'll do a concert. And my niece found this Brad Paisley, Dolly Parton song because we do like country. My niece and Daniel sang it a couple of years ago as a duet at our concert, and I just fell in love with it because it's called When I Get Where I'm Going, and it's talking about heaven. I love the song, but I did not write it. It's written by Brad Paisley and Dolly Parton. So we recently recorded it, Daniel and I did, because I'm getting to where it's a little bit harder for me to travel as much since I'm back teaching full time. And so people have been wanting some videos and things like that that they can use in their Bible studies and all. And sometimes when I do travel, if I come back to Hawaii, if there's an opportunity, I would love to. And if Daniel's not able to come, we actually have him on a professional video, and then I sing along and harmonize with him. And where all this came from was that I was very sad one day that when he was in high school, I was very, very sad. Because I really want to be able to go play volleyball and play some football with him, because that's how I would have been if I had my body. And so I had a moment of resentment, like, gosh, other moms can do that. Other moms can, you know, bake the birthday cake. And I was having a little pity party for about 5-10 minutes there. And then I surrendered it. I gave it back to, I sat in it for a while, then I gave it to the Lord and surrendered it. And that afternoon, Daniel was in his room after school working on guitar, singing a song. And I was rolling down our hallway past his bedroom. And I started harmonizing with him on the chorus. Didn't even realize I was doing it. I was harmonizing with him. And all of a sudden, he yells out of his room, "Hey, pretty cool. I got a mom I can harmonize with." And I just laughed. I said, "Yeah, you got that right." And I looked up to the Lord and said, "Wow, this is something I can actually do with him."
All right, let's hear this beautiful song with Renee and Daniel singing together. Thank you.
When I get where I'm going, on the far side of the sky, the first thing that I'm gonna do is spread my wings and fly. I'm gonna land beside a lion, run my fingers through his mane, or I might find out what it's like to ride a drop of rain. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. I will share the sins and struggles I have carried all these years, and I'll leave my heart open. I will love and have no fear. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, don't cry for me down here. I'm gonna walk with my granddaddy, and he'll match me step for step. I'll tell him how I missed him every minute since he left. Then I'll hug his neck. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. I will share the sins and struggles I have carried all these years, and I'll leave my me down here. So much pain and so much darkness in this world we stumble through. All these questions I can't answer, and so much work to do. But when I get where I'm going, and I see my Maker's face, I'll stand forever in the light of His amazing grace. Yeah, when I get where I'm going,
yeah, when I get where I'm going,
there'll be
That's Renee Bondi and her son, Daniel Bondi. What beautiful song. What a beautiful song that is. Renee, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your life, your heart, and the hope, even as that song has so touchingly described the love of God for us. Thank you, dear sister. We greatly appreciate you.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Suzanne. And thank you to all your listeners, knowing that we do not have to do our life alone. It is only through the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Bless you.
Heartfelt words from Renee Bondi. ReneeBondi.com. My friend, hey, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you, just as Renee has done. And if you haven't done so, hey, I believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Would you do that? And go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers, financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. I thank you in advance. Isaiah 43, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Renee Bondi, reneebondi.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.